For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey everybody, I'm Dan Bespris, the host of Fantasy NBA Today, HoopBall's flagship full-season fantasy podcast. We cover every piece of news, every mock draft, every rank list, pickups, drops, buy lows, sell highs, and every sleeper candidate all year long, Monday through Friday. Come check us out. We're Fantasy NBA Today, and you can follow me on Twitter for updates at Dan Bespris, D-A-N-B-E-S-B-R-I-S. We'll talk to you soon.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Hoop Ballers! Welcome back to another episode of Today in Sports Betting. I'm your host, Iris Silver. As always, it is Thursday evening around 6 p.m. We're recording this episode. I have a fantastic guest on the show today. Going to drop some knowledge about betting and some MLB. He's really, really good at the MLB. Before we go ahead and say hello to him, I want to remind you guys this podcast is brought to you by Manscaped.com. They just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0 with their water-resistant technology. Go over to Manscaped.com, type in the promo code HOOPBALL20, that's H-O-O-P-B-A-L-L-2-0, at Manscaped.com to get 20% off and free shipping. Our guest tonight, or for the Friday episode, I should say, is Jason Radowitz. Jason, SBR Sports, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. Can't complain. We have the MLB playoffs coming up, so you know, I'm all excited over that.
I know, man. I know. It's one of those sports that I only recently got into betting. You know, I've always betted, but really seriously, taking it a lot more seriously. I've always been a big basketball, live betting basketball guy and football guy. So I'm glad to have you on. Maybe you can share some knowledge with me and the listeners out there and how you go ahead and prepare your, you know, your MLB slate. But, did you get in? So tell me a little bit, tell the listeners who aren't familiar with you, you know, tell us a little bit about your background. How'd you get in the industry and, you know, how'd you end up where you are today?
Yeah, it's a long story. It's been a crazy ride for me. I was always into sports, you know, growing up. I was a big sports fan, big New York sports fan. I'm from New Jersey, haven't left New Jersey throughout my entire life. And, I love New Jersey, but, you know, our sports teams aren't the greatest. So, you know, being able to root for other teams, not just your favorite teams, is always good, especially being from New Jersey with, you know, for example, the Mets, awful, the Jets, the Giants, awful, the Knicks, awful. The Mets are getting there. The Yankees have always been good, but those are two teams that I'm not really a fan of. So, you know, I've always been a sports fan, and I've always loved writing about it. So, you know, when I was in high school, I actually built a sports blog on New York sports and, you know, got so many people to write for it. Just kind of help people get their writings out there, you know, trying to get into college or trying to, you know, get a job off of, you know, different samples that they can put on my website. But then I went to college and got away from that website. I started to write for the newspaper there, and I became the sports editor for the University of Hartford's newspaper. But quickly, I made a relationship with the Hartford basketball team there. And with the Hartford basketball team, they brought me on as a manager and an analytic kind of guy to help them with numbers and, you know, just analysis and all that kind of thing. So from there, I kind of realized, all right, I love sports, but I love trying to find an edge. Like, how do we win every game? And that was the kind of part that I loved a lot. But I was also an avid, and I still am, I'm an avid, you know, gym goer. I love the gym, love to eat, love to sleep, and you know, get all my, you know, get what I need, you know, done for the gym. Well, being a part of a basketball team as a graduate assistant, it was so much work and not much time to, you know, be able to work out and get that part of my lifestyle in check. So after being a graduate assistant, I said, hey, I'm going to be a fitness coach. And that didn't necessarily work out for me. So I was, you know, writing on the side, you know, for sports betting, obviously sports betting on the side already before writing. And once it got legal in New Jersey, I was game for it. And, you know, I just love the analytical side of trying to find an edge and, you know, betting on sports. You know, there's a lot of pressure and a lot of pressure that comes with it, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Speaking of that pressure, it must be, you know, I do the same thing. I put out some picks on my Twitter as well. I know you do too. And, you know, it's tough when things don't go your way for a couple of days. You know, I know you're successful at it. I've been pretty successful with sports betting as well. And, you know, when things don't go your way, you do get some flack from the followers. You know what I mean? So how do you deal with that on kind of a nightly or weekly basis? I mean, do you shrug it off and you're like, well, if people don't want to follow me, that's fine. Or, you know, are you, you know, how do you kind of deal with it and your following?
Well, let me tell you, on the side, without showing it on Twitter, I get upset, right? And I'm one of the most optimistic people, you know, person you'll meet in real life. I'm so optimistic. And, you know, when you lose a sports bet, I don't care if I lose myself, but I care about other people's money. Like, I'm a guy that, you know, I'll put money on games that, like, I can afford to lose, right? So I'm not worried if I lose it because I can afford it. But I know there's people out there that aren't like that and might wager more than they should. And, you know, when you lose, it really stings because you see other people, you know, losing, you know, what you had recommended. But the reality is, I always tell people, like, you know, wager what you can, wager what you can lose, because no matter what edge you have on a certain game, it doesn't matter. It's not going to go your way 100% of the time. You know, I don't know, you know, how many of your listeners are into the stock market, but we just saw a huge, you know, a small little crash. And that will happen in sports betting too. We'll have weeks where we just don't have it. Things just don't go our way. But we'll also have weeks where we have, you know, 20 to 1 runs and we're winning 20 games, losing just two. That happens in sports betting. And the reality is, you need to just win 6 out of 10 games as long as you're betting under minus 200. You just need to go 60%, and then you'll be profitable. So you're allowed to lose 4. You just need to win 6. And I think that's the biggest thing, because there's going to be some people that are going to be, you know, following you on a certain day, and they might end up losing, you know, 1 out of 3, or you might win 1 out of 3 games, and you know, they think you're a loser, but in the long run, like, you've won 6 out of 10, so you're actually profitable because you won more than lost, and you're 60%. So I think it's, you know, if people don't follow you 100% of the time, you know, it can be really confusing for them. And they might, you know, start to think that maybe you don't know what you're talking about. But, you know, at the end of the day, you just got to kind of shrug it off. People that are rude, people that are obnoxious, you just have to block. You just can't deal with it. And, you know, me being optimistic, me being that nice person online, the one that goes on Twitter, you'll never see me curse out a player, curse out a team. Like, that's a terrible kind of, you know, I don't condone, like, that's just not how to go about things. And so when you're kind of that person that just kind of is relaxing, optimistic, very nice to people, respond to people, and just appreciate people, you'll get that back from most people. And that's what I've noticed the most. So the people that are rude and obnoxious, they just get the block. The people that understand it's a journey, the people that are respectful, just like I am to them, you know, they'll be there for the journey, and they'll be profitable at the end with me.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I couldn't agree with you more. You know, we talk about on this show all the time. You know, most of the time on this show, we break down pretty much almost every game on the card. And, you know, I'll lean a certain way, and then I'll give out my official picks on Twitter. But, you know, we talk about it all the time that it's all about bankroll management, right? You know, when someone gets mad or someone, you know, he gives you a little flack, and you know, you're putting yourself out there, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, like, they might be down and they're trying to press, you know what I mean, with your picks. And you know, you just gotta you know, believe in your process and know you're good at it, and that's really it. I mean, I agree with you 100%. Jason, I know you love betting MLB. So were you always an MLB bettor exclusively, or what point did you have a point in your career, in your sports betting career, where you said to yourself, man, I got to focus on this sport. I'm actually really, my numbers are showing that I'm much better at baseball than I am at, you know, hockey or basketball, for instance.
Yeah. So for me, but being in the betting industry, it's actually been not so long. You know, it's been about, you know, a little bit over a year now since I've been in the betting industry, since it came to New Jersey. That's really when I started to take it more seriously. And, you know, I thought to myself, like, hey, I could actually, you know, get a little bit of secondary pay off of this if I put in the right work. And, you know, something for me, you know, even growing up, you know, I think it was kind of funny, like my family and friends would always say, you know, we'd always talk about sports, and they would always talk about how, like, they couldn't follow what I was saying because I was so in-depth and talked too much and just knew too much about sports. So just my background in sport just growing up has always been tremendous. And I think that's kind of carried over into betting, where now I can look at the analytics and the numbers that I learned that I'm really good at and capable of when I was with the University of Hartford basketball team. But I think baseball specifically, it's the biggest numbers game you'll ever see. There's so much strategy involved in the game. Obviously, we look at the ERA, we look at batting average, we look at, you know, innings pitched, we look at game started, wins and losses, WAR, ground ball rates, left on base percentage. There's just so many numbers, lefty on righty splits. You know, I think there's just so much strategy involved in baseball compared to all the other sports. Like, there's obviously, you know, strategy in football, there's obviously strategy in basketball, but baseball, it really comes down to pitcher versus batter, instead of team versus team. So you can really kind of dig into one versus one, who's going to come out on top. Whereas a team, it's a little bit harder because there's just more scenarios that can come out of it, because there's five in basketball, or, you know, more in football, same with hockey. So the reality is, baseball is just such a strategy game. The numbers are just so involved. And, you know, to me, and I think a lot of people that follow me, they kind of see that once you're able to really crack down on these numbers, you can really have an edge in baseball. And, of course, it's not always going to go your way. But for the most part, it should go your way. And that's what it's kind of done this year. It's been a weird year, especially with COVID outbreak and all that stuff. Just having, you know, 2 months of baseball, it's harder to build a bankroll that way as well. But thankfully, I've been doing really well in the NFL as well. And also, you know, starting with college football as well. So, you know, a lot of great sports coming. And that's why we'll be able to continue the bankroll moving forward, even after the baseball season's over.
Love it. What are your thoughts on MLB's postseason? You know, it's such a short season. Do you think it's going to be anything like the past, or, you know, is this going to be kind of this new age MLB postseason? You know, how are you approaching, you know, this betting landscape moving forward? Are you looking to any particular teams? Or, I mean, I know we don't know exactly who's going to be matched up against who, but are you looking at any particular teams going forward? Do you think it's going to be, you know, high scoring? Do you think it's going to be low scoring? What are your overall thoughts on the postseason for the MLB that's about to start here soon?
Well, right now it's been really interesting. Just towards the end of the season, we're seeing a lot more unders than we used to see. So going into the playoffs, I'm not sure if getting rid of the teams will, you know, create more overs in these games. But so far, it's been really interesting. We're getting a lot more unders as of late. But when it comes down to it, I think the playoffs will be really interesting. You know, that the first day of the season, or the first day of the playoffs, I mean, we're going to have 8 games on the same day of playoff baseball. That's something we've never seen before in the history of the game, which is really intriguing and really exciting. Really be hard to keep up with it all. But
without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So exciting just having, you know, 8 different games in the MLB playoffs at once. Do I think this is here to stay? I'm not entirely sure. In the future, they'll continue on with it and with an expanded playoffs like this. But, you know, we'll have to see how that plays out. I think if it's enjoyable and it all works out in the end, it could be here to stay. Just like, you know, the DH and the NL could be, you know, there to stay, along with, you know, having a runner on second in extra innings. That could be here to stay as well. Just because we've seen the MLB starting to kind of move faster with their games, with extra innings being a little bit faster now because of the guy on second base. So there's a lot of different intriguing options that the MLB has that they can look at, you know, throughout this season. It's been really interesting for sure. But the teams I'm looking for in terms of the playoffs, I think the Yankees are they're so healthy right now, and they weren't throughout the entire season. And coming back, I think that they have a huge edge there if they can get solid pitching from their, you know, 3 and 4 and, you know, 5 starters. We don't know if we'll be able to have that number one starter pitch on early rest or whatnot in this playoff. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what pitchers will be able to pitch on short rest, what teams like to go 4 or 5 starters. It's going to be interesting to see what they do there. But, you know, teams like the Yankees, teams like the Dodgers, the Padres, the teams with really good offenses and a solid starting pitching group should be able to get the job done in the playoffs.
Do you think that there's any chance that a team outside those three, who are going to be obviously the favorites to win it all this year, have a chance to make a real big run and potentially win the World Series? I mean, if Cincinnati can hit, I mean, who's going to want to face those pitchers on that team? I mean, you know what I mean? So, Are there any particular teams, maybe like a long shot, that you would maybe, you know, lean to? I wouldn't say you have to recommend it or give it out as a pick, but is there any team in particular as a dark horse that could come out of this winning the World Series other than the, you know, the big names?
I like your Indians pick. You know, I think we just saw, you know, Tristan McKenzie go into relief for 2 innings just yesterday, and that just shows you how deep their pitching staff is. They're able to get rid of Clevinger because they know they have McKenzie, and they get Cal Quantrill, you know, on their roster. So the Indians, you know, their pitching has been so good, but their hitting has not been. It's a hitting, like the Indians lineup, it's so good from top to, like, for the top of the lineup has 4 switch hitters.
It aggravates me every day. It aggravates me every single day.
Exactly. And so they have a great, you know, team on paper. It's just not happening in the games, but their pitching is just so good. Another team, the White Sox, their pitching is fantastic. You look at Giolito, you look at Dunning, you look at Keuchel. All those guys are great pitching. The White Sox have so much power. They can definitely get the job done. I think a team that could really shake some heads would be the San Francisco Giants in the NL. The Giants, you know, their offense has been kind of a lot better than I think we've all expected coming into the season. What's weird is the Marlins being in the playoffs. I don't think anybody would have ever expected that. I mean, not the Giants either, but even the Marlins, like, they might be making the playoffs this year, which would be just ridiculous knowing. I don't know if many average baseball fans could even tell me a single player on the Marlins roster, and they might be playing in the playoffs. So, yeah, it's really interesting. It's, the expanded playoffs has been really crazy. There's teams like potentially like the Phillies, like the Mets, who have, you know, some solid lineups and solid pitching, and they're going to look, they might potentially look on the outside. Really weird, really weird season so far.
What do you think about the Reds?
The Reds, yeah, they're hitting. They have to get better too. But if they're going to make it, you know, they might be like an 8 seed. They might, you know, we don't really know yet. I think so. If they're facing the Dodgers, you can forget it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But if they're facing, you know, let's say they get the 6 seed somehow and they have to face the Cubs. I mean, we just watched the Cubs get destroyed by the Pirates in 3 straight games. And the Cubs could be in the top 4 in the NL in the matchup. So, yeah, who's ever going up against the Cubs, they have a chance to get a series win for sure as a 6 seed.
Yeah, I bet before the season started, I bet the Indians at 20-1. So that's my ticket. That's my futures ticket in the MLB right now. And I also bet I made a couple weird bets in terms of, like, you know, I thought maybe COVID might play a part. You know, I took a little small piece on the Rockies and a little small piece on the Diamondbacks. But other than that, the innings really is my only live ticket here, I would say, to get anything done. But let's shift gears for a second from MLB. Let's talk a little bit about football. I know you said you've been playing the college football slates. You've been playing NFL. Anything that sticks out to you this weekend as a good spot for a certain team?
Yeah, there's a lot of great spots. You know, one underdog that I kind of like are the Rams going up against the Bills. I think there's a lot of hype around the Bills, as there should be. They have a great defense. Josh Allen, our running quarterback, is leading the league in passing yards, which is really weird. But the reality is he faced the Jets and the Dolphins. Now going up against the Rams, who have a much better secondary, obviously just locked up, you know, half of their secondary right before the season. I don't really see the Bills getting as much offense as they got these first few games. So I do like the Rams as a underdog in this game on the road. I know it's cross country. I get all of that, but I think the Rams offense kind of showed what they're capable of. I know the Bills defense is really good and the Rams defense has a great secondary. So I like this game, you know, for the Rams to get the underdog win, but you know, I don't think there's going to be too many points in this game either.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think the Rams are better than everyone thought they were going to be this year. And, you know, the Bills, I'm a big Josh Allen guy. I think he's got a cannon for an arm. And if he can ever get a little bit more accurate, he'll be amazing. And he can run the ball. I think that the Bills have something special there and something special going on there. So hopefully he can continue it. But I do like your pick with the Rams. I was also thinking about that one as well. Any thoughts on the Patriots game this weekend? I'm kind of leaning towards the Patriots as a big favorite here in this spot. I just think it's a really, really bad spot for the Raiders coming off a Monday night victory against the Saints, traveling all the way to New England. Any thoughts on this game for you?
I've enjoyed Cam Newton with the Patriots. And I know in his last game, you know, he didn't get that touchdown on the 1 yard line, but you know, they've ran the ball really well. He has really great chemistry with Edelman already. Some really long plays with Edelman. He looked really good. And, you know, the Patriots defense is one of the best in the league. And, you know, I think people kind of forget that at times. And, of course, you know, they struggled versus Russell Wilson. But, you know, right now Russell Wilson's the guy that many people are pinpointing as the MVP of the season. You know, it's only 2 weeks. I get that. But, you know, it was a tough go against Russell Wilson. But I don't think it's going to be a tough go against Carr, per se. So what's interesting is Las Vegas, they're 2-0 since changing locations. That's pretty impressive. But, yeah, they're going all the way back to New England now. They just have one interception in 2 games. They've been poor getting turnovers too. And I wouldn't say the Raiders' defense is really good. I just think Drew Brees kind of looked and he just didn't look great in that start against the Raiders. And obviously he was out without Mike Thomas. And, you know, while Mike Thomas runs a lot of short routes, he's a guy with sure hands, a guy that gets a lot of yards after the catch. And I think that he was lacking that at the end of the day. We didn't put too much stock into that, but at the end of the day, he was missing Mike Thomas. It was a big difference for Brees in the offense. I like the Patriots here as well as a big favorite. I think if you can get them under, you know, by a touchdown or less, it's a go. So right now I'm seeing them at -5.5. I agree with the Patriots -5.5 for sure.
Awesome. And I'll throw it to you. One, you can pick one of these two games and give me your final thoughts here before we say goodbye to you. We got either the Sunday night game or the Monday night game, both going to be fun games to watch. It's going to be a big, heavily bet games. You got two marquee games. You got Green Bay Packers on the road in New Orleans laying 3. And then you got the Kansas City Chiefs on the road in Baltimore -3.5 right now. Any game in particular between these two that you find interesting, or there's maybe something that the general public isn't seeing right now?
I mean, I think Aaron Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And, you know, honestly, he could be fighting for that MVP spot as well. If he stays healthy, this Packers offense is really clicking. You know, they've been underdogs already this season. And they already have wins. And now, again, they're underdogs versus the Saints on the road. After the Saints really didn't look too great versus the Raiders. Doesn't make any sense to me. I think the Packers at plus 3.5, great play there. The Saints just aren't the same. I'm not sure if Mike Thomas will be back, but that defense has now allowed 28.5 points per game, and the offense is only scoring 29 points per game for the Saints. I think the Packers are a really good play, but then you want to look at the Chiefs and Ravens real quick. That should be a really exciting game, of course, Mahomes versus Jackson. But Mahomes didn't look too great versus the Chargers in his last start. You know, Justin Herbert kept him in check and almost brought the Chargers back to win the game. I didn't agree with Lynn and punting the ball on 4th and 1 when they should have went for it in overtime.
He's such a bad coach. Horrible.
It was a terrible, terrible decision. But I do feel bad for Tyrod Taylor. I just want to point that out. But at the end of the day, the Ravens, their defense has looked really good in the first two games. The Chiefs' offense struggled a little bit, and I'm not too high on the Chiefs' defense. Although they've looked good so far this season versus the Texans and the Chargers, I think the Ravens' offense is going to be a little much for the Chiefs. So, I agree with the line. Ravens minus 3.5, around minus 3. I agree with that line. I think this game will be close. I don't know if I'll make a play on it. I might just enjoy it as a sports fan. I don't get to do that too often anymore. So I might just let it go, but we'll see. It'll be a fun game. I'm excited.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to point out one other thing about your Packers, your thoughts on the Packers game, courtesy of Mitch Moss on Twitter, Mitch Moss Radio from VSiN. He tweeted out, in only two games in, but the Packers are averaging a league best 53 yards per drive. To put it in perspective, in 2019, the Ravens led the league with 41.7 yards per offensive drive. In 2018, the Chiefs averaged 41.53. The 2007 Patriots averaged 41.63, and the 2013 Broncos averaged 38.22. So I do like your Packers play there. So maybe that'll add a little bit of fuel to your fire and a little bit more conviction on that for all the listeners out there. That's an interesting stat. Jason, I really appreciate you coming on today. I know, we would have loved to do it in the morning so we can get your plays on some baseball games, but baseball's already underway and this is not going to come out till tomorrow, but I really do appreciate you coming on. Where can everybody find you, Jason?
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate you having me first and foremost, but yeah, you can find me at SBR. Write a lot of articles in the MLB, the NFL over there, Sportsbook Review. Find me on Twitter at Jason_Radowitz. That's RADOWITZ. I post all my MLB plays there and give a lot of insight on all other sports as well. Also write for American Betting Experts and Doc Sports. So get all my MLB, NFL stuff, college football stuff, college basketball coming back soon. So got all those sports covered. It's been a lot of work, but it's been a lot of fun. I wouldn't trade for anything.
Yeah, guys out there, if you're not following Jason, you got to do it. He's a great follow. Once again, everybody, I'm at Iris Silver Magic on Twitter. This is a HoopBall presentation. We're also at HoopBall Gaming on Twitter as well. Thanks again, Jason, and hopefully we'll have you on again soon.
Of course, sounds good. Thank you.
All right.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.